When I set up the announcement, I say it's the Feast of Tabernacles. You all know we are in the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated for 7 days. The Feast of Tabernacles is not a feast of the Jews, but it's the Feast of God. Amen? So what do they do? Do you know what they do? They stay in booth. You know? Booth, right? It's called the Feast of Booth. B-O-O-T-H. Pondok. All of them will create all the booth and they will stay there to cause them to remember they used to stay in temporary houses when they were moving in the wilderness. So that's Feast of Tabernacles. It's a very interesting verse I want to show you regarding Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus himself celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know that? All of you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. All of you are very, 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 very good. Amen. God has been good to all of us. We have been looking at the Holy Spirit, remember? We looked at John chapter, what was it last week? John chapter? You can trust any one of you because you all have notes. Praise the Lord. You have notes, right? John chapter? We were looking at John chapter 14, is it? Right? We say that the Holy Spirit stay with us, right? Amen. I thought Brother Joseph has a question. He lifted his hand to us. Do you have a question? Hallelujah. Jesus made reference to the Holy Spirit many times, right? Many times. And one of the famous one that he made was also in John chapter 7. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 7, from verses 37 to 39. This is going to be very interesting. Who has found, can you read John 7, 37 to 39?
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is spoken concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified."
What did Jesus say here? What did Jesus say? He who believes in me, out of his heart, what will happen? Of the belly will flow rivers of living water. And John explained in verse 39, this he spoke concerning what?
The Spirit,
which is the? Who is the? Holy Spirit, right? Are you following me?
Yes.
Jesus, again, speak of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When did he speak about the Holy Spirit here? On the last day, that great day of the feast, right? What feast was that? John chapter 7. They were celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. The brothers before that were about telling him, hey, the brothers didn't believe Jesus. He said, hey, show yourself. You know, the brothers of Jesus, before this verse, they said, hey, go and show yourself. Will you claim to be who you are? Why do you hide in secret? And he actually secretly appeared during the 7th day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish, this is not in Torah, that means it's not in the law of Moses. How they celebrated, there are things in the Bible. But on the last day, it has become a Jewish custom that all the priests will carry a jug of water and they will pour it out on the last day. They will pour out the last time. And then, very courageously, very boldly, Jesus came out on the last day. Probably just after the ritual of pouring water, Jesus stood up and said, "He who believes me," right? Before that, he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Jesus seemed to tell people, "He's the source. Come and drink from me." Right? It's a very bold statement during the last day of Feast of Tabernacles. That's why a lot of people are very angry. What do you mean? Don't we are celebrating Feast of Tabernacles here? You are telling you are the source of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus was talking about what? The Holy Spirit. And when was the Holy Spirit poured out? Benji, when was the Holy Spirit poured out?
During the Feast of Pentecost.
During the Feast of Pentecost. Oh, your grandson said your father. during the Feast of Pentecost, right? Then what did John say? For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Right during the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus mentioned two feasts. One the Feast of Pentecost, one the Feast of Passover. Jesus was not glorified yet. He has to die and only resurrected. Right? That speaks of the Passover and the Feast of First Fruit. So right in the, when he was celebrating Feast of Tabernacles, he mentioned the Feast of Passover and Feast of Pentecost. Do you find it odd? There is a secret, there is a principle here. Every feast, there is an experience, there is a real experience in our lives. Passover is a born-again experience. Everyone, their spirit is regenerated, right? That's Passover. Jesus came to die. Jesus must be born again inside you, inside me. We experience Passover. Pentecost, we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We begin to speak in tongues, right? There is another feast, Feast of Tabernacles. Many theologians argue, this one, next time, when you go up to heaven. You know, when you go up to heaven, then you celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. Is it true? Usually theologians do that, right? When they can't explain something, they put it into something that is unexplainable. Next time in heaven, then you celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. But what if they are not so correct? That there is a Feast of Tabernacles coming to it for the end time Christians. And what will happen in the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover will be brought to its fullness. Oh, people will say, hey, this is heresy. What do you mean the Feast of Passover and Feast of Pentecost has not been fully released yet? This is how Jesus got the ways of God. God does release things, but God also promised fullness. If you remember Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19, the prayer of Paul, Paul said, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Have you ever wondered that you and I can be full of God? Have you ever wondered that? Maybe you're saying, hey, I'm already full of God. Is it true? Are you showing it? There is a promise for an end time generation where during the Feast of Tabernacles, it will be an experiential reality that Pentecost has its fullness, Passover has its fullness. What do I mean by that? Passover was a picture of Israelites leaving Egypt, going to the promised land, right? In the Bible, it says, when they left Egypt, none of the Israelites were feeble. Yet none of their bodies were feeble. What does that mean? None of the Israelites were sick, had any illness or sickness. That is a picture of Passover. Are you experiencing that? Not yet. There is a fullness of Passover. God did not give us a picture and then the fulfillment of it is not consistent with the picture. The Israelites were working so hard under taskmaster, right now, doing all the hard work, their bodies aching all, but when they were rescued from Egypt, none of their bodies were feeble. That is the fullness of Passover. Whatever sickness, Jesus came to heal. Do we experience that? Not in fullness. Sometimes there is a pocket of, there's some people used by God to heal. Sometimes there is gift of healing. But Passover will come into its fullness in the Feast of Tabernacles. Pentecost! The early days apostles. Are we moving in signs and wonders like them? And Jesus promised you shall do greater than what I do. Pentecost has its fullness in the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. When will Feast of Tabernacles come?
One day. One day.
Amen.
It must be an experiential reality.
Are you following me? Are you catching it? Or you think this is something too far out? Okay, right? If you don't agree with me, we can have a chat after this. Okay, but I took this from this when Jesus, at the last day of Tabernacle, he made reference to these two feasts. Why did he talk about Pentecost when he was in Tabernacles? He chose the day, the last day of the feast, to talk about Pentecost and Passover. There is a glorification. And then in John chapter 3, verse 34, it says, God gives to Jesus a spirit without measure. Holy Spirit without measure. But in our lives, it's like we have increasingly. God has given us a fullness, but it manifests in increment. Amen. That's why in the US people say quantum physics or quantum science has a lot of parallels with the spirit realm. Because in the spirit world, things happen in quantum. Quantum means in a quantity, in a quantum measure, right? But we are not so smart, we don't have to follow that. What is quantum science? What is quantum physics? But those who are interested in quantum physics, they are Christians who wrote about the parallels between quantum science, quantum physics, and the spirit realm. How the spirit realm also operates in the quantum physics, the principles of quantum physics. When will this happen? The Bible promised before the end comes, before Jesus comes again, there is a global harvest. There is a worldwide harvest. Many times you hear people say, use the word revival, outpouring. I come to realize that not everybody understands or has the same meaning when they say what is revival. You know what I mean? I heard that there are many, well, sometimes some people say, you know, there was this healing meetings, Maldonado, right? In a stadium, right? So people say, oh, that's a revival there. I think it's a healing campaign, right? It's a signs and wonders, or it's a crusade, right? But some people call it a revival. Some call this visitation. So everybody has a different term for it. But sometimes we should actually ask ourselves, what is revival? What is awakening? What is outpouring? All these terms are words that people use. But what I want to share with you is, God promised one last great harvest in this world, where He will sweep millions into the kingdom. There is a promise. There are many prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Right? The light, arise, shine, your light is come. In the times of darkness, the Christians will be strong. Not everyone. Because the truth in the Bible is like diamond. It has many facets. On one hand, it talks about dark times. On one hand, it says Christians will arise. On another hand, it says there were many who will fall away during the end times. So people say, what will happen? Everything will happen. Don't go and argue, everything will happen. People will fall away. People will be used greatly by God. Many will be saved. There will be great harvest. Amazing. Praise the Lord. You and I must have this faith that it will happen. And we must believe it will happen in our lifetime. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. Amen. There must be another harvest. It's a harvest. So when we say revival or outpouring or awakening, some people say let's not call it revival, because revival means you're dead, you must be revived back. So they don't like the term. Let's not argue over the term. What it means is when the Holy Spirit is poured out in great measure, right? The reality of God, then everyone moves in signs, wonder, miracle. There's no more pastor, apostle, great and great doctor, great. Everyone, faceless, nameless, everyone operating in a science, wonder, and miracles. Everybody get transported here and there, doing the works of God. Don't care anymore, don't have name card, don't, don't have a website, no Facebook, it's fine. That time, everyone is busy doing the work of God. And millions will be swept into the kingdom of God before, it could be in the midst of persecution. And the great tribulation. So some people call it reformation. Some people call it awakening. And we believe it is for everyone. It is an invitation for everyone. When I look in our country, and I just the little that I know there are churches who catch hold of this vision. For different reasons, could be selfish reasons or other reasons, I'm not there to judge. But there are churches who are sensitive to God. They are praying, they are believing for this. Not everyone is over there. Every church has their own agenda. But if you and I are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we should prepare. You want to prepare? We want to be a part of what God wants to do. Amen? We'll look at this in a greater detail. But before that, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. To give a picture for us to understand all these principles. You know, move of God has been happening like in a cycle of 10 years, 20 years, right? The last one we heard was in 1998, there was a Brownsville outpouring. There was like an outpouring. People received holy laughter and all kinds of manifestation. Brownsville, then there was this Pensacola, there was right? In the US. And then there was another one, okay, before Pensacola, then you have Toronto. Right? These are all small drops. And people will queue up in the church. Church open at 7 o'clock. Morning, they start queuing up. Are you prepared for that? Do you want that? Do you want that? We want all that God wants to do. But, you know, a lot of people want revival. Then the pastor says, are you sure you want revival? It'll be very messy. A lot of people will come to the church. People will warm in. Everything will happen. People will queue up. That's why God is looking for people who will be volunteers in the day of His power. We will catch hold of that vision. Whatever the cause, we want to see it happening. Amen. Have you read that before? Well, it stirred my heart. My wife, we are all. It stirred my heart when Brownsville happened. I bought the magazine. I read every day. It was the fact that you look at the video, the reality of the Holy Spirit can hit you. I can still remember Pensacola when it happened. The youth, the young people, when they had the experience, the reality of God, they brought it to the school. They go in front of the classroom, they tell the classroom what happened in church. Everyone in the class begin to shake and tremble. I once heard there was a Sabahan boy. He was challenged in school, in Sabah. They say, no, your Jesus is not real. He stood up and he said, don't you talk about my Jesus is real. The teacher was hit. Was flown to the wall, hit the wall. So these are small things happening here and there. These are moves happening, move of God. But there will be one where it'll be on a large scale. But this invitation is for everyone. If you have 1 Samuel chapter 4 with you, I want you to come back and let's look at this image. It's a very interesting. By looking at this story, we'll begin to appreciate more what we have been talking about in the past weeks. When we say we want the Holy Spirit to come and rest on us, what does it mean? Does it mean that we have to have a big church? Does it mean that we have to... What is it? When, you know, everyone has a different idea. Or some people say, what is it? Well, Holy Spirit resting on us. We must have a picture, we must have an understanding of what it is. If you have 1 Samuel chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Yeah, I didn't know there's Aphek. Immediately you Aphek, you laugh. Your Aphek also is here. Hallelujah. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. When they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, right? Who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. Can someone read verse 3?
And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel say, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies.
Verse 4, someone.
So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the ark of the covenant of the Lord of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, that they were the ark of the covenant of God.
Verse 5.
And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook.
Verse 6.
Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, what's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? When they learned that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp.
Verse 7. Verse 9.
Be strong and conduct yourselves like men. You Philippines, the times that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you, conduct yourself like men and fight.
Verse 10, I will read. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter there fell of Israel. How many foot soldiers? 30,000 foot soldiers. So what happened here? Hello, look at me. First round, what happened? The Philistines come and fight the Israel, right? In verse 2, we were told Israel was defeated. Kalah. Lost. The people of God lost. Against who? Philistines. So, as usual, they are very smart. What should we do? What did they do? Let's bring the Ark of Covenant. What is the Ark of Covenant? You know the Ark of Covenant, right?
Yeah.
It is in the sanctuary, right? It's in behind the Holy of Holies. Eli was a priest. Samuel was sleeping near the Ark of Covenant. That's why he heard the voice of God. Samuel. That was just a chapter before this. The Ark of the Covenant was, in the Old Testament, was where the presence of God was. Right? God said, I will meet with you between the wings of the cherubim. I will speak to you from there. That is where the Shekinah glory of God will manifest once a year when the Most High Priest go in and the Shekinah glory of God will appear. So the Ark of Covenant speaks of God's presence, God's manifest presence, God's glory, right? You must look with me very carefully here. When God is with us, we are victorious. Amen? We know that. We know that Joseph, when God was with him, not this Joseph, in the Bible, but this Joseph also, when God is with you, God, you have victory. When you are in and Joseph, because like I said, when Joseph was in prison, everybody was looking at him, and you go to prison. When Joseph was in prison, when he went through everything, because Jesus, God was with him, he was prosperous. So the Israelites had the understanding that when God is with them, there will be victory, there will be breakthrough. That God will grant them victory. Amen? But did it happen? Second round. First round, they lost already, right? They lost already. They say, ayo. Of course, in Israelites, they don't have the word ayo. They say, ayo. they scratch their head. How? We lost already. Then some smart Alex say, come on. Don't you know what we should do? Let's get God to be with us. So they run into the sanctuary, bring out the Ark Covenant. Then what happened? When they brought the Ark Covenant into the camp, what happened? What happened? Everybody shouted, right? Until what happened?
Until the ground shook.
Oh, very clever. Very clever. Until the earth, the ground shook.
Yeah,
right or not? Yeah. Earthquake. Yeah. Boy, you paid attention. Yeah. Until the earth shook. Yeah. Did they win?
Yeah.
Did they win? Second round?
Yeah.
Did they win? Second round?
No.
No.
Lost.
Lost again. Lost again. It's a precious lesson you and I must learn. the Israelites used the presence of God. The Israelites used God. The Israelites did not have a relationship with God. I need God. Then you run to God. Let's bring the Ark of Covenant. Use God. God cannot be used. God is there. But why there's no victory? Use God. The psalmist say in Psalms chapter 19, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Sometimes as Christians, it's very dangerous. We commit presumptuous sins. We presume that God will be, God will help us. We presume that God will together join me even if I do this wrong thing because I'm a Christian, I go to church, I attend this worship, God is with me. The psalmist realized, he said in Psalms 19 verse 13, keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. We must also pray, God, keep me from presumptuous sins. Sometimes we just think that, surely God will do this. Is it true? The Israelites had that presumption. We get the presence of God, surely we have victory. David did not do that. Every battle, David asked God, there was a relationship. What do you want me to do? Should I attack? Should I ambush them? There was a relationship. Israelites used God. They are, when you use something, you are bigger than God. We command God to do this. Can we? We can't. Can we? When I was young, I was in a youth meeting. I was a youth leader. I brought them to a youth meeting. It was a combined church thing. You know, the worship leader was leading. Then suddenly, in the middle of leading the worship, in Jesus' name, I command your presence to now come into this place. Oh, sure. I said, better go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. Last time, I was quite radical. If something wrong, I'll just walk off. When I was a youth leader, I saw the person in front preaching. While preaching, I got a chewing gum. I woke up. How do you preach and you chewing gum? Like, what are you treating? I know last time I was more radical. When I was younger in Baptist church, they will have a committee meeting. They say, let's put aircon in the church. Last time, many years ago when I was small, I stood up and I think primary school, but I don't know. I stood up and said, because then they give the reason, we should put aircon so that when we worship, we feel more comfortable. I feel like I'm so clever. Pride when I was young. I said, what do you mean? With aircon only you can worship God. I thought a bit, I was a bit shy. Isn't it nice to have aircon to worship? Nothing wrong, right? But I feel like, walk out, do that. Now I can understand. Suddenly I preach, someone woke up, I feel bad. So I never thought about people, how they think. That was my young, youthful pride. Don't follow me. So how can I be there? How can I went there? Oh yeah, the worship leader, he commanded in Jesus' name. He was a very talented musician. He sang very well. I know him, he's my friend. He works in music school. In Jesus' name, I command the presence of God to now fall in this place. It's a normal thing for them to do that. I don't know, maybe in some churches you go, you can still hear that sometimes. I command in Jesus' name for this. Jesus, come now. You can't command. That's what they did. I command now. I bring the Ark of Covenant. I command victory now. They lost, right? We cannot use God. Amen. We cannot command, we cannot instruct God. We are but His servant. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the first point we must learn. We cannot use God. We do not want to fall into presumptuous sin. You see, it doesn't happen. And then secondly, you and I must learn what happened. The earth shook. Surely, Brother Albert, you say, oh, your earth shook, a miracle, miracle, must go there. You never experienced before. Really, you saw the wild signs, wonder, sure happen, sure win one. Kala also. Why? Man also can generate earthquake or no? Because they shouted so loud. We read in the book of Acts, right? When they were praying, then the earth shook. Do you remember that? That one was because when they were praying, the Holy Spirit moved, the earth shook, there was power. They went up full of boldness, begin to pray, right? But this one, there was not God. But it was all noise, all human noise. Oh, the God is now with us, we will win. Until the extent the earth shook.
Then they lost.
Then they lost also. This is a lesson you and I must learn. You and I always make this mistake. Oh, you got miracle there. Must go, must go, must go. Surely must be God one. We can make that mistake. I just read this morning, I was so saddened. I don't follow this man in the US. There was one time when I look at the book, we talk about spiritual sensation, right? I felt something not right, but I didn't bother. I found out he led a double life. He appeared in all the major Christian interviews. Sid Roth is there, Patricia King is there, he has his own school, he has all the books in Broken Land now, you can see all the books that teach you about seer, how to see and all that. And it was revealed that he led a double life. Wait, even men of God don't know. He was abusing women. Those under his employees, his staff. So sometimes you see, the earth shook. That's not mean God is there. That's not mean God is there. I want to be more careful. I don't know, no, but I may be inviting a friend to come here and preach. One day discover this person has a problem one. You don't know, right? We must also learn. You and I must learn. It is not just in the physical. Wow, the church very big. Sure God bless one. Sure God is there one. Are you sure? Are you sure? They lost, you know. The earth shook. Wow, the church very blessed. No debt. All the equipment all very cow cow. Yo. Nobody uses China projector. Why got this type of thing, man? You must got the automatic ticket. Like that got style. Like that. Sure God is there. Sure God bless one. Jealous. It happened then. It's still happening today. The earth shook not because of God. Man also can create counterfeit. Amen? Amen? We want to learn to be discerning.
Also, you use the word presumptuous. Can it be considered as take it for granted?
Presumptuous, take it for granted? Can? Yes, can. You presume you take for granted. All the while Jesus sure is with me one. When I do this, when I serve God, sure is with me one. Every time I preach, sure people will laugh. Sure God is with me one. So this time I don't have to pray. When I preach this time, I don't have to prepare. I come, I sure cannot. These are sure. A lot of people can fall under that. Any preacher, easy on me. Can't give me a verse. I just go up there and preach. Dangerous, right? Presumptuous. Sure can happen. Everything is okay one. But there's one thing that I want to share with you. I learned from a Bible teacher. How do you know a man of God, there's something wrong with a man of God? Usually it starts with that teaching. You see that teaching a bit out, that is a sign of it. The teaching will somehow be out. This man, his teaching began to be off. If I tell you the book he wrote, then you might know who he is. He wrote a book, Raptureless. He doesn't believe in rapture. He's out. He begins to say there's no rapture, you know? So it's a Bible truth. No more rapture. Unfortunately, the Bible teacher that taught me how to know someone's false, he himself got into error. The Bible teacher who taught me that how do you know a person will go wrong, he himself got into error. Sad, right? So if the teaching is a bit out already, a bit only, it's very hard to, he can use Bible verse to support, you know? Because why? Everything that happened in Revelations, it said already happened in AD 70. So it won't happen again. So you and I have to study the Word of God. Sometimes you don't know. So there's no millennial reign. They don't believe on all that the Bible says. But these are all tenets, these are all truths in the Bible. Okay, so you have to learn. If you sense, if you go somewhere, you hear, if the teaching is a bit out, that means you must know, bang, 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 bang. The alarm must ring, and you bang, bang. Don't say, cannot lie, never mind, I still got anointing. Really, always God gives you a chance. Right? The anointing will still flow, but it will continue to decrease because it's a channel. Right? I heard a testimony of someone who fell before. No? I don't know whether I heard or I read. He is living in sin, but he knows a spiritual principle. So he will be living in adultery, and he will still fast. He will still speak. He will still pray in tongues 2 hours. He will still go and minister, and there will still be anointing. But he will still be living in adultery. Living in adultery, practicing what he knows, the spiritual principle, and ministering. So very dangerous. He can still be. Have anointing, but slowly it will show one. Something, right? It will slowly be exposed. Right? These people are very smart because they discovered the truth. Like, if I fast, if I pray in tongues. So before the meeting, they do want to be. They repent, like, Lord, I repent, repent, repent. Then they preach, wow, I got anointing. Go back to another lifestyle again. Oh, Sunday I'm going to preach again. Repent, repent, pray in tongues, fast, 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 come out again. God is gracious. Don't take this and say, wow, good one. I can sin, then go back, sin, then go back. Don't do that. Huh? It's not meant to be like that. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are to learn in verse 5. It says, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly. The earth shook not because of the power of God, but because of the Israelites shouting. Amen. So this is the first thing we have to learn today about the Ark of Covenant, about the presence of God, that we cannot use God. We have to see God resting in our midst. We cannot use God. We cannot be presumptuous. And we must learn to be able to discern the true move of God and one that is generated by man. Amen. Secondly, after that, what happened? Verse 11. After it shook, after they, just now in verse 10, they lost, right? The Philistines say, let us fight, be a man. Let's fight, if not we'll die this time. So the Israelites were defeated. In verse 11, I read to you. And the ark of God was captured. Verse 11, not just they lost, the enemy took the Ark of Covenant. Do you have that? Right? And the two sons of Eli died. Then Abni, Hophni, and Phinehas. Right? And in verse 17 to verse 22, a messenger ran to Eli and said, Eli was very old. He looked at them and he said, what happened? Then he said, your two sons have died. And then he said, when he mentioned the Ark of God was taken in verse 18, Eli fell off the seat backward and he died. Even though he was an evil priest, he did not take care of his children well, he appreciated what is the Ark of Covenant. When he heard his children died, he is okay because he has already received the prophecy from Samuel. He knew that his children will die. It's a punishment from God. But when he heard that the presence of God, the Ark of God has been captured, he immediately fell and he died. As a priest, he treasured, he knew what was the Ark of, what was the Ark of God in the midst of Israel. So he died. And his daughter-in-law, when she heard that, she was so affected by it. And she, what did she name the child? Ichabod. Ichabod. Tell your friend on the left, on your right, Ichabod. Ichabod. If you know the Hebrew language, if you have been in the church, a lot of people, when they explain glory, they will tell you kabod. Right? Kabod. Glory is the kabod of God. That means it's a heavy substance. Kabod means the weight, the weightiness of God. Kabod is glory. Ichabod, the glory has left. Where is the glory? Where is the glory? The daughter-in-law was so affected that he named his child. He didn't care. They were telling him, they were telling her. No, she didn't answer. If you look at verse 20, about the time of her death, the women stood by her, said to her, don't fear, you have born a son. She did not answer. She did not regard what child was it. She captured the essence of the moment. She named the child Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel. My friend, my brother, my sister, this is the heart of the Father. This is where the modern Christians have failed to appreciate. Whether the glory of God is there, whether the glory of God is not there, we can run church as usual. We can go to church, we do church business as usual. Nobody cares whether it's Ichabod. Nobody will cry if they go to church, the glory of God is not there. You and I, as the children of God, we are not created to function without the glory of God. You and I are created. God said, I want to dwell in their midst. That's why he said, in the wilderness, build a tabernacle. I want to be with the Israelites. When he tell Moses to tell Pharaoh, tell them, I want my people to worship me. The heart of God is, I want to be with my people. Since the day Adam and Eve was kicked out from the Garden of Eden, the heart of God is, I want to be with them. Eli understood the severity of the event. He heard the ark of God as he captured. He fell down, he died. Even though the sons died, he didn't matter. Can you imagine that? His sons died, I know. But when he heard the Ark of Covenant has been captured, he just dropped dead. Same with the daughter-in-law. He also died. He didn't care whether what kind of a mother do not care about the child that she's going to born. She's birthing. No one. No one will act like that. Think properly. No mother will forget a certain child. But she's just going to give birth. That was a severe, severe, severe thing to happen. They have lost God. I don't know whether you and I can imagine that or not. They have lost God. If you and I have been wearing glasses, those who wear glasses, you know, right? One day, if your glasses are people steal, can you function at home?
You can't. Your sight has left.
Huh?
Your sight has left.
Yeah. You can't function, right? That's just a small thing, a glasses, I mean. Say, Ichabod, the glory has left. The glory of God has departed. Can I tell you something sad to say? No one bothered today. No one cared today. If the glory is in the church or not. We are presumptuous. God will be there, it's okay. Let's do our thing. Let's worship three songs. Let's sit there, enjoy the sermon, laugh a little. The glory of God is not there. Who cares? Who cares? Get this in our spirit. They cried out, Ichabod, the glory. Where is the glory? The glory has been taken. 1 Samuel chapter 5. The story continues. The Ark of Covenant was captured by the enemy. The whole chapter, if you will look at 1 Samuel chapter 5, you will see that the Philistines took the Ark of God, brought it to Ebenezer, to Ashdod. In verse 7, from Ashdod, they brought it to inside the temple. The Dagon God, the fish god also, fell down. And in verse 10, they brought to Ekron. The enemy captured the Ark of Covenant. Right? Read 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. Everybody, let's read together. 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. What does it say? Now, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Let's stop there. What does it say? Now, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Brother, my sister, there are many things that have been stolen and captured by the enemy. When you read John chapter 10 verse 10, it's just not just a nice word. It just doesn't say the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. When the thief steals, he keeps it. The wisdom that Solomon has, if nobody takes it, the enemy will steal it, will keep it as a trophy in the second heaven. Why did the enemy want to take the body of Moses? It's recorded in the Bible. There are mantles, there are gifts, there are anointings. of people who have passed by, passed on, great servants of God who have been greatly anointed, they carry a mantle. And if nobody picks up that mantle, the enemy usually steal it, keep it. That's the truth in the spirit realm. You can, there are many testimonies. There was one, there was a man of God by the name Stephen Brooks. He had a dream, he had a vision. There was a pile of mantles. There's a pile of mantles. Do you know mantles? Mantles means you receive an anointing, no? Healing mantle, apostolic mantle. A pile of mantle. And there were, it was being guarded by the evil forces. The enemy, it happened, Philistines captured the ark of God. There are gifts, there are anointings, there are mantles that are kept in the second heaven. There are many men of God who experienced, who God allowed to go into the trophy room of Satan in the second heaven to take it back. I just heard a testimony that day. There was a man of God, he was sleeping, suddenly he was awakened, he was brought into Rome, he walked right into the Rome, into the prison of Rome. Inside the prison, in the underground, he saw two fallen angels. He was divinely inspired to say, in Jesus' name, you release the apostolic mantle that you have stolen. Back then, in the early 1980s, nobody talked about apostolic anointing. Nobody talked about apostle. Then suddenly, everybody began to have apostle in their name card. I'm apostle, prophet, doctor, teacher. Who? It happened because he went there. He was transported. He, together with six other friends from different parts of the world, at the same time, they were transported to Rome. And he released, he said in Jesus' name, released that apostolic mantle of Paul. He believed Paul was martyred there. What was it in 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1? The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. For fun, this verse is for fun. 7 months. 7 months. What does it mean? It's the perfect timing of God. They cannot hold it forever. There is a time, and now is the time, now is the season, when God is beginning to mobilize his people again, to begin to go into the enemy's camp and take out what has been lost, what has been captured, because it's a perfect timing. There is a season that God allows, okay, the enemy takes it, the enemy has captured it, but it is not forever. Right at the correct timing, the Kairos season, you and I are supposed to go in. Hello? Don't be presumptuous. You cannot go without God permitting you to go. Only divinely inspired. Never think, oh, today I want to go and take this, take that. No. We prepare ourselves as a vessel. All these people, we prepare ourselves. At the right time, God takes you to Satan's trophy room. Take the sword. I've heard many testimonies. One has taken back the wisdom of Solomon. One has taken back the mantle of Paul. All kinds of things. There are many mantles that have been lost. Healing mantle that were used by the Irish many years ago. Suddenly a man had an encounter in heaven and the person released it to him. It's still happening today. It's biblical. It's biblical. Don't say I'm already off. They say, hey, so not today, we're a bit off already. I'm going deeper. Would you like to learn? Amen. Amen. This is Bible, okay? This is Bible. We have to go deeper. Amen.
But how come this great man and woman, this mentor, some of them, they imparted to their leaders? You see that?
Some they do, some they don't. But these are all God's mantle. They can try to release, whether or not they receive or not, it's all up to God.
Because at times I see that big crusade, their pastors will say that everybody come forward and release the impartation.
Impartation is different from mentor. As long as you're still alive, the mentor is with you. You cannot give the mentor away. For example, Benny Hinn believes that he received the mentor from Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman has passed on, so it's the same mentor. So people say, how come you function like Catherine Coleman? It's not that he tries to mimic, but the mentor upon him makes him begin to operate like that. But impartation is different. Yeah. Impartation is anointing. Yeah. I impart anointing on you. Can, like Moses impart on the 70 elders, the spirit of Moses, release impartation to do what I can do, you can also do. That's impartation.
What about when we went to Captain Coleman's grave to get the honor?
That is presumptuous, okay? That is
by force.
But okay, please hear me. We don't judge them. A lot of people judge them very early. Ayo, sleep in the grave to get the anointing. I taught y'all before. Hungry people are crazy people. Hungry people are willing to do all kinds of things. Don't judge them, they're hungry. They want the anointing. They are willing to travel everywhere. I still remember a pastor in Sarawak, in Sabah, Philip Lim. I'm sure you all know, right? Dr. Philip Lim, SIB, right? He went to Oxford, he went to John Wesley or whoever, the statue or in the room. He said, I want your anointing. Is it wrong? Not wrong. It's a passion, it's a hunger. Of course, people then take photo, I'm soaking in a grave. So people begin to criticize, Yeah, it's all in the Facebook, I'm soaking in Catherine Coleman's grave. Then they also do that. As if they are soaking and receiving. It's not biblical, but it's because they are hungry. Let's not judge them.
Is it deception?
Can lead to deception. Hungry also must be biblical, you are right. Yeah, because then like that, everywhere they go and soak, everybody's grave. It's not that, but they'll tell you they have a basis. Do you remember Elisha? He's died. But the bones still can heal people. They say there's a biblical basis. But don't make from one and become a... But indeed, you see, Elijah's mental dropped Elisha. Elisha wanted it so much. Elijah gave a condition. You can see me taken away, it is yours. See, he cannot give one, He cannot give, it's God. And if you already meet that, you have the same quality, you get it. So I like it when I read this first Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. I say, wow, 7 months, they cannot hold forever. The enemy thought they can hold forever, but at the right time, and now is the season, now is the Kairos season, you and I can reclaim that, recapture what was stolen. Amen? Don't go and find yourself. Okay? God will lead you. You go and say, I want this mental. Wow, like want to go shopping like that. I want that mental. Go and find. It's never like that. Huh? Like that is like the earth shape because it's self-initiated. Okay? We learn this truth so that when it happens to us, we understand what God is doing with us. Right now, truth is to give us a foundation for us. When the experience comes, there is a truth that we can flow with. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be thinking, hey, why am I here? Why am I in the stock trophies room? What does God want me to do here? Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. After this happened, who became king? Saul became king, right? If you read in the book of Acts, Saul reigned for over 40 years. Never once mentioned he wanted to take back the ark. There is a group of people who doesn't care about Ichabod. No glory, no, doesn't matter. There is another group of people who will never have a desire, a hunger to go into the deeper things of God, to want to be intimate with God for the presence of God. We don't judge them. We don't blame them. There is such people. Saul. All his life, he's just building his own kingdom. Oh, you, that person doesn't like me. Afterwards, they saw me, I don't do this. I better go and do what Samuel always do. He's only building his own kingdom. He's full of insecurity, trying to take care of his good image only. I'm King Saul, the handsome king. We laugh, but sometimes we do like that, right? In our walk. So, Jerry, we have to learn. King Saul for over 40 years, never once mentioned, let's go and take the ark. Fully aware that the ark has been stolen. From there you already know what kind of a heart he has. But David, Why did God say David is a man after God's heart? There's so much for us to learn. David, a man after God's heart, right? The moment he was crowned as king, the first thing he did, captured Jerusalem. Hey, after Joshua brought them to Canaan, all this time, Jerusalem has never been captured until David. David understood the heart of God. Jerusalem is where Jesus will come back again. Jesus, foot of Jesus will come back to Jerusalem again, second coming. David, the first thing he do is, I secure Jerusalem. Kick out all the Jebusites. Point number one. Did it. Philistines come at a time where you new king. He defeated the Philistines. Philistines speak about flesh. He overcome flesh. Next thing, he said, come on, let's go. Get back our ark. Wow. Took more than 40 years. King Saul do all kinds of things. Maybe he did some good things, okay? Never once he said, let's go and get back the ark. He can live without it. I'm king, well, I have a calling. I have anointing. Samuel anointed me good enough. The first thing after David has gotten Jerusalem, he said, come on, let's go and let's get the ark of God. Let's get the ark of God back. My brothers, my sisters, I just want to share something from my heart with you. I know all of you come here, some of you make sacrifices, you know, Friday night, you actually come here. I just want to tell you something, we are not all born automatically to be seekers of God. You're not born to be seekers of God, right? We want a comfortable life, we want a rich life, a blessed life, which is not wrong. But I come to understand that God's way is very different from our ways. God, in His mercies, sometimes use the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties in our lives to draw us to Him. All these things that happen in our lives is to awaken a desire, a hunger, and a thirst that King David has. But hear me out. Not everyone will respond like King David. Some people, they draw near because of the trials, because of the difficulties. After they get the answer, you will not see them again.
Bye-bye.
It is a wasted grace of God. But God orchestrated. Why I'm all okay suddenly? Suddenly I'm sick. Why all this? I'm okay then suddenly this. Why these things happen? God, in His great mercies, is arranging circumstances to draw you to Himself. Okay. On the way, maybe you will get your answer, maybe you will get your healing, maybe you will not yet get it, but He's in at the back of His mind. He's drawing you. Why? Can I tell you why? In the last days, He's looking for a company. He's preparing a company. It doesn't have to be a big company. It can be a big company. It can be a small company. But God always works with a group of people. Amen. Jesus worked with 12 disciples. He always worked with people. Together they meet, they receive impartation, they do that. It's never our own goodness. You see, God do something in our lives. What his problem? But when because of that problem, we seek God. Of course, in the beginning, we say, oh, please, Lord, answer God, 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 God. We realize, hey, I'm using God. I'm using God. Then the more we come near to God, we taste a little bit of the reality of God. Hey, what's that? What's that? What's that? How come that day I feel something different? What is that? Is it peace? What is that? Like I said last week, some people tasted a bit of reality, they just go on with their lives. But those who has an eye for the Holy Spirit, they tasted a bit of the reality. Hey, what's that? What's that? I'm not gonna let go. What is that? That began a lifelong pursuit. I'm gonna see what that is. Some people started young. They tasted that and said, oh no, this is something precious. This is something sacred. This is something holy. I identify with that. It's my destiny. to be connected with this. I don't know what is it. They say seek God, they say pray, never mind. But I tasted something. Many people tasted something real in a move of God. I come from a Baptist background, my wife also, together we were in Baptist background, we came to a charismatic church, and there was a move of God, it captivated us. Suddenly we experienced God is real. Can you imagine the second Sunday I go there, I was just there, I'm a pure Baptist, not a tongue talker, don't believe in all this one. Second service, the elder was giving up communion. Just praying, I sprinkle the blood, say seven times, sprinkle the blood. Nobody touch me, I just fall like that. I feel so shy. Why fall? People having communion. It triggered something inside me. What is that? I told people cannot speak in tongues. So what's that? What is that? There's something real. I did not feel anything yet. It's just a falling on it. What is that? To the extent, I don't want to leave the state where I was staying, my hometown, to go and further my studies. I said, I can do an external degree here, never mind. To the extent you are willing to make sacrifice. That's what I heard about FGA. You know FGA? When there was a move of God in the 70s and the 80s, all the people buy houses near the church.
Yeah. All.
Because it was so real. Sick people go FGA, get healed. That time there was a move of God. They are willing to all... You see, all the church members, then after that, the move of God, lesser, they all sell, all blessed, they go and buy all the rich bungalows everywhere else. But you see, it captivated you. Once you have a little bit of that, you know that something supernatural. It's not of this world. And you're going to invest your time, your energy, and your life into it. And this is a time, this is a season. God is once again calling out to a company. I pray that you will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, not my voice. God is seeking a company. God is cleansing his body. God is doing a separation. If you want to continue on your way without God, fine, you can continue. If suddenly you feel a stirring now is the time you respond. You're willing to invest your time. You're willing to take off. You know, I'm tired. I'm all that or whatever. Still, I will pray. Still, I will come. Still, I will seek God. Still, I will fast. Because God calls you. Amen. And God is seeking for a company. I'm repeating again. That's the message I've been saying since 31st August. God is looking for a resting place. There are churches that are beginning to capture the vision. Some churches are beginning to summon their church to begin to prepare for that. It's an invitation for everyone. Never feel exclusive. I say, well, here, very exclusive. God is looking for a special. It's for every church. If you have an ear to hear, you know God is speaking. Don't miss the opportunity. That's why it has become a burning message inside me. I know it's not from me. When I shared that message on 31st August, I know it's not from me. And I know it is a message from God. And God wants to come. It's excellent. It's okay. Hallelujah. So God is seeking for a resting place. We will continue this journey. I have to keep building up. I have to keep showing you from the scriptures. It is not something new. Time and again, we would have lost it in an Ichabod. When my wife and myself, when we left where we came from, we had a very tough time looking for a church. When you have experienced and tasted something real, we had such a difficult time looking for a church. Can't find it, you go there, Ichabod. Not out of pride and not criticism, but once you have tasted, then you go there. They say, "Oh, this is the best world." You go there.
Yeah. It come on.
Not criticizing, but you're looking and looking.
Yeah.
Never knowing one day God will tell us, "You start something." Let's prepare a resting place. Let's prepare a resting place. Big or small, it's not my problem. Let God draw the people. If the people who doesn't want to hear all these, I want to know how to be blessed to make more money. I can't help you. I mean, I really don't know how to help you to make more money. There are other places that will help you. It's okay. I'm not condemning anyone, okay?
Yeah.
We all need money, right? No money also cannot buy this. Praise God. Right, the testimony. I bought this one. I got another one free. I don't know why. I bought this one, They sent two to me.
God bless.
Thank you, Jesus. All right? So, God, let God draw people in.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged if you say, "Hey, where the person is?" Whatever it is, let God draw them. And you and I, let's stay the course. If you really know God is calling you to be part of this company, may I encourage you. Put your heart, your soul, let's build on the momentum. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, we have to cooperate with Him. You know what David discovered? Just God told him the strategy. When you hear the mulberry tree, the whistling of the mulberry tree, it's time to move on. Do you hear it? Do you hear in your spirit God is calling you? Some of you, most of you, when I say all these things, I know it creates something inside you. For Sister Pat now, I know God is stirring. God is awakening her spirit right now. She has been calling out for a long time. She's been looking for a place. I don't do that. It's not I do. Sister Veronica also, God is beginning to touch all of you now. If it is a true call, you will know it. God is seeking a company. God is seeking a company. I can't seek our company, but God will seek our company. If that is your cry, why not you respond to God now? Close your eyes. Begin to tell Jesus, "Lord, I want to be in that company. I want to be in that company." At this time, begin to respond. "I want to be in that company. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. I am born for this. I was born for this." Just respond to Him, Sister Pat. It's okay, let it go. Let Jesus dig deeper into your heart. Shika rabaka sokorobo rebeyanda raba sokoroburianda. Father, increase in Sister Pat right now in the name of Jesus. Shika rabarianda, fire of God. Increase, burn inside her. Burn inside her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do not feel condemned. It's not your emotion. If you don't feel anything, don't feel condemned. It's your spirit. God is speaking to you. God is awakening. God is stirring your spirit. He says, "No, I was born for this. I will not let go until God you bless me. Until you come. Until we become your resting place. Until we become the resting place of the Holy Spirit." I cannot imagine when that happens what will be happening. Until we become the resting place of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something before we just continue on one story? I recently read a book about how God led a woman start a gathering. I haven't read about this whole story, her whole story. They begin to meet. They begin to go into the realms of God. In their meetings, there'll be a door open. People will just step into that door. Don't come back. They will be in other countries. They'll be doing work for God. In that meeting, angels will come. They'll give instructions. They have gone through a process of dying to themselves. It's normal for angels to come into the meeting, give destruction. There will be a lot of people go in and out. Some will not come back until a few weeks later. I've never heard of this for a long time. This is promised to us, the end times generation. In your heart, you have been always asking. You have always wanted something more, something deeper. You cannot describe in the words. Start by inviting the Holy Spirit. Come, I want to be your resting place, Holy Spirit. Teach me, lead me, and guide me. Is that your prayer? Come on, let's come together here right in front. Let's pray together. Can I just welcome you? Come, stand in front of me. Let's pray together as we ask God that our spirit bears witness with what the Holy Spirit is speaking and doing inside us. Come, come, just stand in front here. Just come here. Ourselves, we are not worthy. It's not us, it's Him. Never think that we are so good that we can do something. The moment we think we are good, we don't qualify. It's not us. He seeks for us. Now everything that you go through makes sense. Now you begin to know, oh, all the things that happened in my life, God was leading me, guiding me. God allowed the things to happen in my life. He was drawing me to Himself. I was looking for an answer. He becomes the answer. He becomes the answer. I was seeking for healing. I was seeking for an answer to my prayer. I was seeking for breakthrough. He is the breakthrough. He is your healing. He is the answer to your prayer. And He wants to possess you. He wants to be able to come down. Have a resting place and stay with us. Will you surrender yourself this evening? Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Begin to talk to God. I cannot do anything. God will respond to you as you open your heart. Let's talk to Him now with your hands. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you confirm the word that has been spoken now. In the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, come now. Holy Spirit, begin the stirring of the hope with your spirit. Begin to cause an awakening. Call up your spirit. Let them begin to have a foretaste of what it means, Lord. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Receive right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shakaraba sokorobo. Rekeriangorobo sanda. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, seek out your people tonight, Lord. Seek out your people tonight, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name. More robo shekereberiana. Come on, surrender yourself to God. Close your eyes, surrender yourself to God. Shikaraba yandaraba sokorobo yanda. Yes, we need to talk to God. Don't wait for anything. Don't wait for anything. Your hunger will make you know what to do. If you are hungry, you know what to do. You will cry out to Him. You will say, God, I must have this, God. Now I know this is what you have called me to. If you are hungry, you will know how to talk. God, please come, I need you. I'm born for this. Bring back the Ark of Covenant. Bring back your glory, Lord.
Bring back your glory, Lord. Show us, Lord, what life is for. Bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory, Lord. Right now, you're feeling it in your heart, in your spirit. Come on, you concentrate, focus on Him. As I begin to say this, receive it in your spirit. Bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory. Bring back the Ark of Covenant again, Lord. Where is the Ark of Covenant in Malaysia? Where is the Ark of Covenant in Selangor? Where is the Ark of Covenant in PJ? Bring back your glory, Lord. Where is the Ark of Covenant in my family, in my church? Where is the glory? Where is the glory? Bring back your glory. Bring back your glory. Begin to talk to Him. If you feel the Holy Spirit stirring you, begin to pour out from your heart. Bring back your glory. Bring back your glory. We don't want to use you, Lord. We don't want to use the Ark of Covenant. We want you to be with us. We want you to be with us. Bring back your glory. Bring back your glory. Bring back your glory. Shaka, ropoto kobo serebe. Don't keep quiet. You've got to call out to God. You got to learn them to call out to God. You got to learn them to call out to God. Yes, yes. You got to learn to begin to call out to God. Bring back your glory. Something simple to say. Say, bring back your glory, Lord. Now I know it's Ichabod. Your churches. It's Ichabod, Lord. It's Ichabod, Lord. Now I know it's Ichabod. Now I realize it's Ichabod, Lord. Bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory. Bring back your glory. Come on, you've got to open your mouth. Don't be shy. The hunger inside you will lead you to know how to cry out to Him. Just say with me, bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory, Lord. Start with me. Start with me in my life. I don't want my life to be Ichabod. Bring back your glory. I'm going to say up. Bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory, Lord. Bring back your glory, Lord, in my life, in my family, in my church. Bring back your glory to Malaysia, Lord. Come on, yes, you're doing it correct. Come on, continue on. Now let it mean something from your heart. Shikaroboriana. Shikareveriana. Come on, don't be quiet. Don't stay quiet. Yes, Sister Ben, Sister Cindy, Sister Joy, Sister Rosie, Brother Albert, Sister Sherry, Brother Wendy, begin to call out, pray in your own way. Come on, pour out your heart. Shaka, Loboria, Loro, Shaka. Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is here. Oh, come back, Lord. Come back, Lord. Come back, Lord. I surrender myself. Help me, Jesus. I don't know how to cry out. Help me, Lord, but I want what I heard today. I believe it is from you. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray out. Come on, Shikarabaria Lorobo. Begin to sing out. Shika, begin to call it out. Kurabashana. Shikarabaria Lorobo Sanda. Awaken the destiny in the name of Jesus. Awaken the spirit in the name of Jesus. Shikaraba. Yes, from the heart, Shikarebekeriano Robo Sorobo, Shikarabariana, in Jesus' name, Shikarebekeriano Robo. Begin to pray, call out Shikaraba for your life, for your family. Begin to call out Shikarebekeriano Robo, Shikarebe. Begin to call out for my family, for my church, Shikarabariano, no Robo, Shikarabariano Robo, Shikarebekeriana. Come, Sister Rosie, Paul Henry, Sister Veronica, yes. Shekelebe, call out, Shorobo, Roborianda. Shekelebe, don't keep quiet. Cindy, call out to God. Call out to God. Shekelebariando, Roborianda. Come, husband and wife, begin to call out to God. Shekelebe, together. Children, together, call out to God. Yes, husband and Morabashi. Yes, call out, Shorobo, Yanda. Shekelebe, call out, call out. Shorobo, Shekelebariana. Benji, come here, Benji. Shikarebekeriana, Lorobo Sanda. Oh, bring back glory to this family. Come on, pray.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Open your heart.
God is showing you something that you want to repent on. Open your heart. Open your heart, ask God to cleanse us, purify us. Open your heart and say something that you want to say sorry to Jesus. Oh, Rashikara Bariya, forgive us, Lord. When we instruct you, when we command, when we use your whole, when we use your presence, Lord, to achieve what we want, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. All of us has a part in this, Lord. We use you, Lord. We use you, Lord. We dare not say it, Lord, but we always use you, Lord, to advance our own purposes, to advance our own agenda. We use you. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, purify us. Forgive us for the sins of presumptuous sin in our lives, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We take you for granted, Lord. We take you for granted, Lord.
Jesus. Jesus. Commune with me. imparting something to your spirit, that when you leave this place, you know you carry something of heaven. You know you carry something of heaven. Commune with Him now. It doesn't come from man, it comes from Him. Right into your spirit. Right into your spirit. You will somehow feel there is an awakening. There is a desire. You want to seek Him. You want to love Him more. Treasure that. Treasure what God is doing inside you. Treasure it. Don't think that, oh, it's another meeting, it's another punch. Treasure it. And when you leave this place, cultivate it. Spend time, commune with God. Spend time, think about Him. Talk to Him. Say, I want to be in the company. Let it not just be here, wherever you are, when you're driving, when you're cooking. Commune with Him. Let it be a lifelong passion until we see that we become the resting place of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you do this, God. A deep work in our hearts.